What up? Another Packs podcast coming your way. This time we have an interview with new Washington football team cornerback William Jackson III. He's got swag for days, and I think fans are going to love it. Plus, does he know that he's wearing D-Hall's number? You're going to enjoy that. Me, Mitch, and Pete break down the possibilities of going up to number 4. Could that actually happen? All that, much more, coming up. Washington Football Talk podcast.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase & Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase & Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's the Washington Football Talk Podcast. My name is JP Finley. We're brought to you by Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Once you do the same thing, check them out, OarsmanVA.com. That's OarsmanVA.com. 6 locations. They got all the cars you can need from Lincoln to Kia, and they'll service them. They'll sell them to you, rent them to you, lease them to you, whatever you need. Check them out, OarsmanVA.com. Mitch Tischler, Pete Haley. What's up, boys?
How's it going, buddy?
You want to timestamp them, Pete?
Yeah, it is 12:18 on April 7th, which is a Wednesday in the year 2021.
If it sounds like I'm in a car, it's because I'm in a car. I'm heading south to Augusta, Georgia, to meet up with our dear friend, Mount Rushmore listener, Mr. Danny Frank, as well as, I don't know if you guys know this, my boy Berger is driving up from Florida to meet me down there. So it should be a pretty juicy couple of days in the world's greatest place.
Juicy. That's amazing.
I love Berger. He's so fun. You're going to the greatest golf tournament in the world, and I'm definitely not driving. I'm just sitting on my bed wishing I was in that car, but it's okay. We'll get down there one year. I'm glad you get to experience it this time.
Yeah. So we got a William Jackson interview coming up, and I think he was great. He's the perfect corner. I mean, everybody knows my feelings on corners. I love the irrational confidence. I think his confidence is actually fairly rational because he's that good. I think as much as Fitzpatrick will have the greatest impact and Curtis Samuel could be a really good player, I think William Jackson will be the best free agent signing because I think he's going to be the best. I think he's really going to take advantage of being on a much better defense with better coaches and a monster pass rush.
Yeah, I think it's going to be I think he's going to have a huge impact on that defense. I think he's going to allow them to do more of what they wanted to do in terms of getting after the quarterback, especially with adding blitzers from the secondary, from safety position. And more so, I think he's going to be the best corner that's played here in D.C. since Dee Hall was here. And I guess it's really only about a decade or so, but it's been there's been some high expectations for some folks coming in, and I'm excited to see what William Jackson can do.
Yeah, I have no idea what the markets are for leaders for interceptions on the Washington football team and the NFC in general, but if those exist somewhere, point me in that direction. I'll put a few shekels on William Jackson III because he's got the size and the speed, and now he'll have some of the supporting cast and the pass rush to help him get more hands on more passes and turn those tipped passes into turnovers. So that will make this offense and this team a lot better.
All right, so we got the William Jackson interview coming up. Also, make sure you're coming April 15th. We will be at Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC in Alexandria. We're going to do a live podcast, a little bit of a draft preview there. Come hang out. We'll all be masked up. We'll all be safe and distanced, but those have been a lot of fun, and I think this one will be the same. If you show up, you get to ask a question on the pod. It's a good time. I did want to talk about the so we know the Niners traded up to the 3rd spot, correct? Well, that leaves the Falcons in the 4th spot. The Falcons are not moving Matt Ryan, so all of a sudden there's an opening there for anybody that still wants a quarterback. And I think there'll be at least 2 of the top guys still available because I think it really sounds like Mac Jones is going number 3 to the Niners. Maybe that's wrong, but there's a lot of smoke that way. So that means that 4, you could get Fields or Trey Lance. Before we even get into the compensation and if we think Washington will do it, which frankly I don't, but before we get to any of that, who would you want given the option between Fields and Lance? Mitch, go ahead.
For me, it's kind of an easy one. I love Justin Fields. I think that he's the third best quarterback in this draft. And I think, you know, one of the downsides of Fields that people perceive is kind of his, you and Mitch were talking about on the radio a little bit, about how he takes some big hits, kind of a la, you know, RG3 or other kind of some other mobile quarterbacks who don't do a good job of protecting themselves. You know, Lamar Jackson does a great job of that. But I think Trey Lance has a lot of similar traits, and his athleticism and the fact that he's able to, I think in 1AA and FCS or whatever you want to call it, I think he was able to be the better athlete. And so he was able to avoid all these different hits and run around people. And I think beyond that, I love Fields' moxie and the way that he kind of attacks the passing game. It's, you know, I found myself watching a lot more, that's a phone ringing.
Who's blowing?
I found myself watching a lot more Ohio State this year than I really planned to. And I really like Justin Fields' game, and I think he's going to be a good pro between those two. I would rather have him. I'd rather have him over Mac Jones as well.
That's fine if you want to include Jones, too. I'm fine with that. Go ahead, Pete.
My pick, I'm going to be opposed from Mitch Tischler. I'm going Trey Lance. And I think, you know, maybe when we look at these two in a couple years, Fields will be ahead in that initial burst just because he's more polished, coming from a better program, et cetera. But I think Lance has the better long-term future. I'm just intrigued by what seems like a lot of untapped potential. And I think in Washington specifically, no, I don't think he'll end up here. But if he did, Fitzpatrick and Heineke are two guys who can kind of act as layers to protect Lance, let him just completely develop. And then in 2022, 2023, you can slowly work him into the lineup. So I just love Trey Lance as sort of a high-risk but super high-reward guy. And for a team that's still early in the Ron Rivera era and has this new front office, I think they could grow together and they'd be a really, really nice fit. So Lance is my guy over Fields and Jones.
I think my list is the same as Pete's. I would go Lance, Fields, Jones. I'm just so intrigued by Lance. I like Fields, but I think unless you're Lamar, and Lamar is a unicorn, it's hard to be that mobile. And I don't know, man. I like Fields a lot. I would have Jones the third. It's going to be really interesting if Mac Jones really does go three above both of those guys. And it made me think about something that Pete said a while ago, especially as you hear this, I don't want to say BS, but I'm going to say BS, about Fields kind of leaking out and about work ethic questions. And it's just so unfortunate where that stuff comes from and how that emerges. And how it, whether or not it was intended, it just comes across with racial biases. And that just sucks. But I would go Lance, Fields, Jones. But Pete, a while ago, and I want to say this is back in like January or February, had a prediction, I think, that Fields slides to 19 and Washington could draft him there. Do I remember that correct, Peter?
I was so excited because it sounded like you're gearing up to give me credit, but I actually had Lance sliding to 19, and Fields is who seems to be sliding now. So thank you for trying.
Well, you both would be happy about that.
I wanted to lie and say, yes, you're right, JP, but I can't. Hey, you had it reversed.
Okay. Well, all right. I was trying to give you credit for something, but I wonder if – so let's kind of circle back to this. Atlanta's taking calls on the fourth pick. Of course they are. Like, everybody would say that in that situation because they're not going to draft a quarterback and they'll try to drum up interest whether or not calls are actually coming in. If you're Washington, would you call? I'll start and say no. I don't think Washington is going all in on one of these quarterbacks. I think if Fields or Lance starts to slip and then all of a sudden Carolina at 8 is really going to just ride with Darnold, or, you know, the Broncos don't take somebody and then you can only have to move up to 10, 12, 14. I think that would get pretty interesting for Washington if they really like one of those guys. But I don't see a move from 19 to 4 at all. Do you guys?
Yeah, I agree. I don't see a move from 19 to 4 either. I think that there's going to be – if there's one guy that Ron loves and that this – front office loves and they want to go after. I make the call to see what Atlanta's looking for, and maybe it's maybe if, you know, whichever their guy is, let's just, for argument's sake, say Trey Lance or Justin Fields is their number, you know, two quarterback in this draft, and he's there at four, and Atlanta's not asking for a king's ransom to move back, then I'm at least making a phone call to see what's there. But I don't think they do it. I think when you look at this draft, you know, they're you have the Falcons spot at four. The Bengals aren't taking a quarterback. The Dolphins aren't taking a quarterback. The Lions might, maybe. Panthers aren't. Broncos need one. Cowboys, Giants.
I don't think the Lions will. I don't think the Lions will. I don't know that the Broncos will. I think they still kind of want to see what they have in Drew Lock.
That's what I'm saying is I think that you could end up in a situation, the Patriots at 15, I think after you get past that first four, or really the next team that is in your mind quarterback needy. So I don't know that you need to move all the way up to four if your guy starts sliding, you know? So maybe you're looking at a move with the Chargers or the Vikings even at 14. I think there's some spots where potentially, you know, you can move up but not have to give up everything that you would need to move up all the way to get up to number four.
It's interesting JP brought up Carolina. It'd be very ironic but also very predictable if Washington Carolina did a deal just because of the history between the two. But I'll push back a little. Like, I get 19 to 4 is a very major leap, and maybe one of these guys can get to 10 or 12. But by sitting and waiting, you risk having a team behind you jump ahead. It's not just the teams in front of you need to worry about. There are quarterback needy teams all over the place that could jump ahead of you. And if, I don't know, like if you really love Justin Fields, I don't get why you would, you know, is there, I don't know how I'm trying to word this, but is there a pick where, all right, we don't want to trade up for him at 7 or at 8, but once he gets 9, then we'll trade up. Like, if you love the guy, you just trade up all the way to ensure you get him, kind of like San Francisco did to make sure they get one of their favorites. So I just think if they believe all the way to take a first rounder on Fields or Lance, they might as well take the biggest shot and make sure they can really get him to do so. Does that make sense?
I agree with that, Pete. And I think you saw that's what the Niners just did. And the Niners are able to send – you know, three first rounders because they feel like they have a really good team and they are secure in their jobs. I mean, Shanahan and Lynch aren't going anywhere and they're able to roll those dice because they identified the player they want. Listen, they know they're going to get whoever it is they want, whether it's smokescreen or not. They know they can get Lance, Fields, or Jones at three. They know it. And so they took all of the risk and all of the doubt out of the equation. And if you get your quarterback, you get your guy of the future, you should start winning games. And that should supersede the value of first rounders if you're winning 11, 12 games and going deep into the playoffs. And I think to that point, if Washington knows they love whoever's going to be there at four, and maybe you can't make that decision until you know who the Niners take, like maybe that would require an actual draft day phone call. And maybe you kind of set those parameters beforehand with Atlanta. Like, listen, assuming one of the guys we want is there, here's a package we're prepared to do. Listen, if they make a big move like that, I'm not knocking anybody for it. Because they were willing to do it for Stafford, right? I mean, we know they put some serious cash on the table for Stafford. So if you know this is your guy that you want, I'm okay with putting the cash on the table again. I don't know that I expect it. And so the flip side of kind of your point, Pete, about like eliminate the risk and go get your guy is they might like somebody but not love them. And then right. When they get to 10, it's like, all right, I like this guy more. This is worth doing now because, you know, it's a bell curve when you're talking about trading draft picks from the top 5 to 10. And it starts to flatten way out when you look at value and kind of expected returns.
It can't be a guy that you like. It's got to be the guy that you love, because if you're making a move all the way up there, it's affecting the trajectory of the franchise because you're giving away first-round picks, not just this year, next year, probably some second- and third-round picks as well. I mean, it's going to cost a lot to get up there. So if there's a guy that they love, then I love the idea of attacking success and going and getting that guy. But you can't just do that move just because you know that you need a quarterback. And let's not forget, you know, Ron just did an availability, a presser, last week? And he talked about, you know, the Cam Newton situation kind of fell into his lap when he went to Carolina, but that he likes the idea of building up around the quarterback and then, you know, when the time comes, hopefully dropping in that guy. And so I don't foresee that sort of move happening up to four. If things start, like JP said at the beginning, if things start falling and Fields or Lance or whoever their guy is starts falling down the board, at that point, I'm, you know, if it gets into the double digits, I'd be more willing to make a move up there, because it's not going to, if you're wrong, it's not going to affect the franchise like we saw, you know, the RG3 deal, you know, in terms of building, you know, quality depth across the entire team.
I'm glad.
Especially because I think they can sit at 19 and take a stud linebacker, and Ron and Jack just be thrilled about it. You know,
exactly.
Like, I feel like there's no bad option here. And I think that gives them kind of more confidence in not forcing something else. Sorry, Pete, go ahead.
Yeah, Mitch, I'm glad you brought up the presser. That's definitely a remark to keep in mind. I mean, Ron could always just be saying one thing publicly and acting differently privately, but he's been pretty adamant that he is in no rush to find a quarterback. But you're right, JP, like, this will all be moot if they don't have a good report on these guys and they just don't care. And they'll be more than happy to sit and get a left tackle or a really good linebacker. And maybe they just aren't even considering this at all. But the overall concept, I heard B-Mitch on your show say, you know, a lot of people are just blowing this off because it's going to be costly and they like the patient approach. But I mean, this team's been quote unquote patient for a while now. I know they had the aggressiveness early in the 2000s, but they've been kind of just waiting and waiting for this rebuild to kickstart. Sometimes you need to kickstart the rebuild yourself and be the aggressor instead of the, oh, we'll just wait around next year. And especially if this team goes 10-7, 11-6 next year, you know, maybe they'll have the 23rd pick. Maybe this 19th pick will be their best piece of capital in a while. So if they love a guy, now's the time to do it, I'd say. But if not, then that's completely fine. And Ron can hopefully drop the cherry on top of the sundae with a quarterback in the future.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Kind of a really interesting wrinkle in all of this that is a weird thing for us to discuss. Before we do, I want to thank Orsman Automotive of Virginia. Come hang out April 15th, Orsman Chevy Buick GMC live pod, 4 o'clock. We'll have more information on the Instagram handle for that. Listen, man, for a while, everybody was talking about the Panthers going after Deshaun Watson and the new owner there, David Tepper, wanting a big splash at quarterback. Deshaun Watson played at Clemson, right there in the middle of Panthers territory. The fact that the Panthers traded for Darnold is a huge step, and it means that Deshaun Watson, right now, with all of these allegations and people now coming forward publicly, and I think some of this stuff is going from civil to criminal, that situation has gone nuclear, I think. And certainly if everything is true, it's really disturbing. If it's not, and kind of the flip side of, like, maybe the Texans are trying to run his name down, that's really disturbing. But I think the total radical change in the Deshaun Watson conversation has a huge impact on these quarterbacks across the NFL. And I wonder, so listen, Stafford got moved this offseason, right? And I imagine at some point more of that stuff continues to happen. We saw Stafford, Goff, year before we saw Brady, like big name quarterbacks are on the move. At some point, Watson's trade price might be decreased, which is wild to think about, but I don't know that any organization can even trade for him. I don't know that he's going to be suspended. I mean, we just don't know anything there, but that becomes something interesting to watch. I saw something, maybe it was on our website, about Rodgers next year. And listen, I don't think Rodgers is coming to Washington, but like they did just draft Jordan Love. And if you're going to commit to Rodgers, maybe they want to move Love. Like there are way when Ron says, listen, like here's what I believe. And maybe this is kind of a cop-out, but I don't think it is. Like, I do believe Washington has a plan at quarterback. Like, they know Fitzpatrick's not the answer. They know Heineke's not the answer. They know they need a stud quarterback. I believe they have a plan there. I just don't think it's on a schedule. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I entirely agree with you. And as you bring up Aaron Rodgers, let's remember that he's going to be the host of Jeopardy moving forward. So I don't know if his NFL career is going to continue after this season.
Is that a done deal? I thought he just hosted it a couple times.
Yeah, they're doing celebrity hosts, and he's hosting this week. But it's
like 20 questions with a celebrity guesser.
Yes.
We should talk about Pete's terrible 20 questions bit later. But
Pete had been pretty good. I think he's just bad when you're around, honestly.
Maybe he feels pressure when I'm there. Who knows? But going back to the quarterbacks, because we should finish the conversation, I don't know that Deshaun Watson is touchable right now. I mean, there's so much swirling around, and we don't know what the final result is going to be of it. But if what's being said is true, which obviously we don't know yet, this is heading towards a commissioner's exempt list type potential situation. And at that point, you're at the whim of Roger Goodell, and that's never a good place to be if you're a player or a team or a coach trying to figure out what the hell is going to happen this year. So it's definitely going to be an interesting situation, because at some point there's going to be some clarity to the legal issues. And at that point, it still doesn't sound like he's playing for the Texans anytime soon. I just don't know that they can deal him right now, because I don't know what you could possibly offer without knowing, what the result is going to be. So that could be an interesting, development come midsummer, after the draft. I don't imagine this is going to get done before the draft is figured out. So I believe there's a plan, and, there's a great crop of quarterbacks coming out this year. There's going to be a great crop of quarterbacks that are coming out next year as well. You know that there's going to be a group of dudes who are going to be, well thought of, and there's going to be a chance to get the guy, quote unquote, next year.
Yeah, that was going to be my last point. There's always another bus at the bus stop. And if you look at current pros, I mean, maybe Derek Carr falls out of favor in Las Vegas again. Maybe Tua doesn't do too well in Miami and he's available for cheap. I mean, there's going to be four or five quarterbacks this time next year, this time 11 months from now, that we didn't even expect to be available, just like there is a group this year. So that's at least to Ron's credit. He can try and wait, but I do think eventually he's going to have to commit, and this might be his best time to commit, but maybe he is confident that next year will be the time to commit, and that will be the time to really assemble this thing and make a true run at a quarterback and then some serious titles and such.
Look, man, like, Mitch, how old are you? 36?
37.
Right, like the time for Mitch to commit is now. There's just he hasn't found someone to commit to. Like, the time, it can be time to commit, but it's not. But you need someone to commit to. So, like, I think Ron would much rather, like, he tried to go get Stafford. Like, he would rather have an answer. I just don't think it's there. But at some point, you're just a bachelor. You know what I mean? And I the Washington football team has just been dating some really ugly people along the way for years. And at some point, you can't just keep kicking the can.
Mitch, who do you want to commit to? Let's get your top three list of people you want to commit to right now.
I'm not
in
ready.
In order
to
rank them.
We're treating this like Ron. You can't put that out in the ether there. I don't want anyone to think that they have a leg up.
Is that tampering? If you say it, is that the tampering period?
There's no such thing as illegal tampering in that world.
What are the chances I get fined for speaking about on unspeakable topics?
I don't think anyone that is of note listens, so I think we're okay.
Oh boy.
What about
Pete? Risk.
Pete has no fear of commitment. Pete is all in all the time.
No, Pete is permanently committed.
Not permanent. Let's relax there.
Do you want to go to Jackson? What else did you want to do here, Peter? You gotta drive because I'm literally driving.
I just want to make fun of Pete real quick for your 20 questions. Can we get some? What was the thought process on that one?
Quick, it's a Tuesday segment on JP's show. You come on at noon. I have a random player in my brain. Guys, try and guess. And Mitch has now joined twice and guessed both players within about 7 questions. First guy was Evan Royster. That was out of the blue. He just knew it. Second, I did Jamal Brown, which is an offensive tackle. Stupid. It was from 2010-ish, which is when Mitch was really, really embedded with the team. Stupid. And it was done within 4 minutes, and it was embarrassing, and it was just a bad game plan from the start. I knew I had a bad game plan, but it was too late to change, and I just tried to cram the ball up the middle against the top run defense, and I got put on my ass, and I regret it, and I'm sorry.
So, a couple things. I think Jamal Brown would have been very good. I don't think we would have gotten it. I think we would have had to rely on callers to get it. But once you knew Mitch was joining, you should have audibled because Mitch is going to get that for sure. And I'll say this, the previous couple weeks had been great. Like, you'd been killing it. Who was it the week before? The corner, Kareem Moore? I don't even think we got that. I think
that's a tough one.
I think we had to go to bonus questions.
Todd Yoder was a good one, too.
You really shouldn't be digging this so hard.
I know, but, you're nice enough to book me. I mean, you only have so many hours on the radio. You're giving me a chance every week. I want to make sure I deliver, and when I don't deliver, it affects me a little bit.
All right, well, it's kind of funny when you don't deliver because that's part of the Pete experience, too.
real quick, JP, and maybe you can bring this up next time you see him. When I made that joke about not having an intro song, I feel like I offended Landfill. So I texted him sorry last night, and he hasn't responded yet. Do you think he's actually mad?
He is. I mean, he's mad at everybody all the time, so I wouldn't worry too much about that.
Well, Mitch is really good at the game, and I don't want him to ever come on again, even though he's one of my best friends.
Listen, I don't know that I'm that good at the game. I don't know that I'm really that good at the game, but if you pick players from 2009 to 2013 or 14 or whatever, when I was at literally every single practice, every single game, in locker rooms, every single day, it's going to be hard for you to pull a player from that era that I wouldn't probably come up with in 20 questions.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, I mean, some of that's on you, bro.
I know. It's fun. I'll be back with a vengeance, and I'll try and choose somebody before the 2000s at some point and really throw you guys off the scent.
Let's go to the swaggy William Jackson III.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Big, big, big pleasure to bring on new Washington football team cornerback, Mr. William Jackson. William, I think you're going to be a star here in D.C. I think you've been in a quiet, sleepy market. with not the greatest D-line. I think you're coming here with some horses up front and you're going to be able to make big plays. How excited are you for this opportunity?
Man, this is exciting, man. It's like a dream come true. It don't even feel real, man, just to walk into this organization with this D-line that they have. It's going to be crazy. I'm able to come to a better market than where I was. So, man, I'm just excited.
I bet. How was the recruiting process? Like, when did you decide, you know what, Washington, D.C. is going to be home?
Man, it was I had a lot of teams that was very interesting, and it was just a no-brainer, man. It was just a no-brainer to make that happen with that D-line and this defense and these coaches. And it's a great organization. It was a no-brainer.
So you looked at that D-line up front. What was it about those guys that really got you excited about coming to Washington?
For once, they all young. They mostly all first rounders, and they definitely getting after the quarterback. And when you got some guys like that that's making the quarterback get it out of their hands, it's easy to make those big splash plays.
Can I get William Jackson's top three traits, whether it's physical or mental, that a cornerback in the NFL needs? What are the top three things that you have that any successful NFL cornerback must have?
Confidence, swagger, and attention to details.
Confidence and swagger, that's cheating. Has swagger. Those are the same things.
You got to have it. See, it's confidence and swagger is two different things. The confidence, I'm going out here locking this dude up. The swagger is how you look on game day. You got to look good to play good, you know? So it's two different things.
So that's basically a Deion line. You look good, you feel good, you play good. Who is your favorite corner? Maybe growing up or even now, whatever.
I like Darrell Revis. I like him. He was definitely one of those guys you can look up to. I like his game. He's at the top of it, man. So I can say Darrell Revis.
Are you even too young to have watched Deion really in his prime?
I never watched Deion, but they got some good old clips on YouTube you can check out. With those black and white.
Don't watch the clips for the 1 year he was in Washington. Go back to Dallas or Atlanta or San Fran.
You can pick up some swag tips from him from his years in D.C.
Right.
If you look at your game compared to some of the best corners, you know, ever, what parts of whose game do you model yourself after?
I don't model myself after no one. I was never that guy. I'm me. Like, everything I do is me. I don't want to play like nobody or none of that stuff. I just go out there and do me, man. So I can't answer that one for you.
What do you think will be the biggest transition going from Cincy to Washington, whether it's football or just lifestyle? What are you anticipating as being something you need to adjust to?
Man, I think it's going to be smooth if you ask me, man. I don't think it's going to be an adjustment. I can't sit here and say that it will be a transition. I think it's going to be smooth. Everything has been smooth to this point. I'm just ready to get there. You know, just play and have fun, man. I'm ready to get back to that having fun thing.
I remember when you did our big press conference with all the reporters maybe a week ago or so, you brought up Ron Rivera's scheme and how cornerbacks tend to come here and succeed in it. Why do you think that is? And is that something that's just known around the league, that if you're a corner, try to go play for Ron Rivera?
Oh, no question, man. He know the game. He have played for so long. And he used guys to their strength. That's why every corner come in his system and they blossom. So I'm really excited. And once I knew that he was the head coach of here, it was a no-brainer.
Hey, William, I think I owe you an apology, if you will. Bear with me. We did a radio interview, and I asked if you like pork barbecue. And then my boss, Nina, texted me.
Yeah, that was offensive right there. No, I'm just kidding.
No, well, you do have a pet pig. And then I asked if you like pork barbecue. So I'm sorry if that offended you, sincerely.
No offense. It might offend her, but not me, though.
Don't let Annabelle listen to the radio.
We're a pro barbecue podcast. JP and I both have sort of some roots in North Carolina. Obviously, you have some roots in Texas. What's the best barbecue?
Honestly, I don't even eat barbecue. That's the crazy part.
Like, that's what I learned.
You know, every family function, you know, they cooking barbecue. So I'm just burnt out. So I don't even eat it.
That's how I got on IPAs. I just drank so many of them that I kind of can't drink them anymore.
Right. I'm just burnt out.
That's the way I am with light beer.
Can I ask, where are you? It looks like there's a beach creeping out back there.
No beach at all, man. I'm in Texas. I'm in Houston. Just a little nice scenery, but no beach at all. Just a lot of stuff going on.
Where is home for you in the off season? You go back to Houston?
Yeah, Houston is home. Yeah.
Do you ever work out? I know that Trent Williams and Adrian Peterson, I think, own a gym down there. Do you ever work out with those guys?
No, we two different fields. You know, they linemen and running back, and I'm over here doing my cornerback stuff. So we in totally different fields.
Is it not entirely too hot in Houston to work out in the summer?
It's brutal. It's definitely brutal, but you just got to find a way to make it happen. And I went to University of Houston, so I just block it out and keep going. But it'd be
hot. Did you play at Houston with Case Keenum?
No, that was before my time.
Come on, JP.
Who was your QB there?
Greg Ward.
Okay, I remember him.
Yeah.
It's funny because Washington, when it, pre-COVID times, would do training camp down in Richmond, Virginia, and it gets kind of hot and humid here and or there. And JP and Pete and I kind of get a little tired of that. But I guess that's going to be kind of nothing for you, huh?
Right. I'll be all right, man. We adapt really well.
I think in the Washington football team Instagram world, and this is something I asked Adam Humphries as well, you got photoshopped as number 23. Are those the digits you're rocking with, and how do you like them, if so?
Yeah, I just want a new beginning. You know, I definitely rock the 23. No, I just look at it as my college number with the 3 on the end, so with the Roman numeral 3. So it'll look cool, so I stick to 23. And
I like that. That's a D'Angelo Hall's old number, and he had plenty of interceptions here, so you're going to have to rock it well for him.
Cool. So that's what I plan on doing anyway.
Hey, William, have you ever heard somebody say rock those digits in a more nerdy manner than what Pete just said?
No, that's the first.
Yeah, I try to like sound cool, and I think I'm trying so hard to sound cool. It sounds so uncool. So I apologize, and thank you for just handling that question with such politeness.
Our last interview, Pete said that he was the swag reporter, rocking his T-shirt and an English striker haircut. So,
yeah, you know. I have no swag. Right. No, it's just becoming more evident.
It'll come together.
Thanks, buddy.
There's been a lot of apologies on this interview. I'm sure.
Yeah, really.
I'm sure that's how William wants to spend his time. How about we let you go on this? If there's a message you can give directly to Washington football team fans, what is it?
We want to be the number one defense, and that's the goal, and that's the standard, and that's what I wanted to bring here.
All right, that is a lofty goal, but the way these things are starting to stack up, it seems attainable. Congrats on landing in D.C. Can't wait to meet you in person. And enjoy that heat down in Texas.
Will do.
I thought we were doing a Masters preview.
Oh, let's do that.
Or I can tell you about this bar I'm driving. So shout out Sean Ryan. Also, shout out Boy Genius. He wanted a shout out. Here you go, pal. So I rented a car to drive down to Augusta. This is a real question. I'm flying home. I haven't flown throughout the pandemic. I haven't flown since the Combine 2020. That's the last time I was on an airplane. Do I still have PreCheck?
Should. Most of the rewards programs suspended for the year last year, Marriott and
Yeah, that's not a rewards program.
Oh,
it?
TSA PreCheck. I don't know. That's
I'm talking about like TSA.
I forgot about that.
I used to have Clear. Like, do I still have Clear?
I think Clear is a 5-year thing, isn't it?
PreCheck is.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you guys. I don't know.
JP loved his Clear subscription. You would talk about it all the time. So I kind of hope you don't have it.
Well, Clear.
I can't imagine the Augusta Airport has Clear anyway.
Good point. They're lucky to just have an airplane.
When you start going to Nats games, though, Clear, I think, is helpful in terms of entering the stadium because you can go through they have a separate line for that just like at the airport.
Really? I did not know that. So I'm driving a VW Atlas, which is a nice vehicle. My buddy buddy Dave, who you guys know, his wife Paige drives one of these, and I've always seen it and admired it. So now I'm driving one. Nice, smooth ride, kind of fast, very zippy. But the steering wheel is totally tilting me. It's got, like, I like to be able to kind of rest with my hand at the bottom, like 6 o'clock on the wheel. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But this has like it basically comes down in a V to 6 o'clock. So kind of like 7 o'clock and 5 o'clock have these like prongs where I want my hand to be, and it's highly irritating.
This is probably the most specific and weird thing we've ever talked about, but I know exactly what you mean. Everybody has their preferred resting space on a wheel, and I like being near the bottom too in that 5, 6, 7 range. So if I didn't have that access, I'd be very annoyed, and I would be thinking about it the entire trip.
So when I'm like in traffic and kind of bobbing and weaving, I am generally a right hand on the gear shift, left hand on the top of the wheel guy, right? Because that gives you good horn access with the left forearm. You can kind of make moves. But I hope that once I clear Richmond, it's going to be smooth sailing. I'm going to be in the country. So ideally, I can like put the seat back. You know what you do when you're driving down south. You give yourself 8-10 miles an hour over the speed limit, cruise control that thing, and just chill. But this damn steering wheel is going to seriously impact my ability to chill, my chill driving. And maybe that's something nobody else is concerned about, but it's a concern to me, damn it.
Yeah, that's a tough concern, especially because that's not a short drive. So you're going to have that hand in an uncomfortable position for a long period of time.
Get your hand off the gear shift. That's all for show. It's not like you're doing Fast and Furious shifting, right?
No, I do that too, Pete, but I also grew up driving a stick shift car, so maybe I just got used to having my hand there. My preferred wheel position is right at 9 o'clock, left elbow on the door resting, one finger on the side of the wheel.
Well, let me respond to Mitch's side. So, but Mitch's arms are so long, and your Honda, this joint's a little spacier. Like the door is far away for me to like rest it on the door. So I don't mind the lower hand rest, kind of like where the window operations are. I don't mind that. And then it ends up being like a one hand at 8 o'clock isn't a bad position. You get your knee involved a little bit there, hand on the knee, and at 8 o'clock, that's a good spot too.
Yeah.
You just described my go-to. It's left elbow kind of on my thigh. And then I'm doing my hand, left hand on about 7:30 with the knuckles pointing down to the pedals, palms up. And that's just kind of how I maneuver when it's a straight shot down a nice empty road.
Yeah, that's right. Only you have the thumb on the north side of the steering wheel and the remainder of the hand on the bottom of the steering wheel. Is that accurate?
Yeah. And almost never, I'd say like 3% of the time, I got two hands on the wheel. That's like when it's icy or rainy. Other than that, no two hands ever. Sorry, all driving instructors in America.
Maybe like parking sometimes, but yeah. If anybody actually driving, like if I'm driving at 10 and 2, it's because I'm like sitting up to stretch out my back and I need to be able to like pull up or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you're in the car for a real long drive, you need to like change things around. I'll do the 10 and 2 with both elbows on the knees, like while you're just kind of like getting a new positioning, because your back's getting sore.
Well, there's also, especially on a long drive, sometimes you got to like stretch the legs out and you like put your left leg down for a minute, give your right leg a little space. And then like all men, sometimes you have to do some adjustments of the nether region. And, when that occurs, hands go everywhere.
Yeah, and probably some places we can't talk about on this pod.
You mentioned it quickly. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the driving with the knee, especially when you're on a long straight road, like 95 south or something like that.
If you got to grab the cord or something, you guys still there?
Yeah, we got you.
All right. See, like, if you got to, like, plug your phone in or something, the knee is a huge help.
There might not be any listeners left here, but Pete and I are still here.
I think we should, I think, Pete, if you can't edit all this, I think we should have gone to William Jackson and then have this after William Jackson.
I'm going to do that, yeah. Listeners hearing us explain, like, this is live. This is now at the end of William Jackson. We realize this is far too stupid to put before the cornerback. That's why you're hearing it now.
All right, so who's your pick for the Masters?
I have switched from Justin Thomas. I'm pivoting to Rory McIlroy. I love that he's a little bit of a mess right now. I love that he's under the radar. He's always a favorite here. There's always a ton of pressure. I think this time he's going to be overlooked, and love that different approach to the top of the leaderboard. We'll see him putting on the green jacket and completing the slam on Sunday.
John Rahm is my guy.
I've been with him all week.
I'm all about the Spaniard. His wife just had a baby a couple days ago. He's got brand new motivation, never won a major. Time to break out of that slump. I think he's going to be I think he's going to go out there and get his first major.
Dude, as somebody that's had a baby, I don't see it shaking out that way. Like, I just think his head is spinning. He said he didn't play, he hasn't touched a club until today.
No bad habits.
Rahm has game for days. He's going to win majors, don't get me wrong. I won't even be surprised if he doesn't make a cut. I could just see him, like, not having slept all week. I could be.
Spieth.
I think it'll be a really cool story if he could kind of climb all the way back after really losing his ass the last couple years.
Well, have fun on Thursday and Friday, and it's going to be a blast. Will you? You can't sneak your phone in. You can't even try, right? It's hopeless.
I would never try. It's the one place in the world where people are happy to follow the rules.
Yeah, well, take a lot of mental pictures then and be ready to tell us some stories for the next ep.
The joy of pimento cheese sandwich, maybe some egg salad.
I will. Don't you worry about that. This has been fun. Thank you to William Jackson. Good quarterback conversation. Good steering wheel conversation. Hope to see everybody on April 15th at Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC. And if you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Confidence and swagger is two different things. The confidence, I'm going out here locking this dude up. The swagger is how you look on game day. You got to look good to play good, you know?
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.